TheSportsHub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports. Wherever you go. 98.5 TheSportsHub.com.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Jiki finds the sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork, it's in the Vega and get lit, what?
Introducing 98.5 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, Ray Allen is someone that has been beefing with the members of the Celtics that he played with. And as we've talked about off the air, that's gotten kind of old. It's obvious they don't like him. And
this is one of those things, Fred, where, you know, for a while I was fascinated by it, as you should be. I mean, the way that he left and shot his way out of town, you know, I could see why the team hated him, and I thought it was funny that Kevin Garnett was kind of being an ass to him, and that Rondo, you know, was obviously couldn't stand him and all these stories behind the scenes. And then when they started talking trash on him, and even Big Baby, who seemed like he was, you know, high when he was on TV during that thing on the NBA.
Well, that's just unfair. What are the chances that was true?
It just looked that way. That was fascinating that they all went on TV, just kind of crapped at him. And now we're at the point where it's like, enough. I mean, this team was great. They won one championship, and at some point 10 years later, we should stop caring about this. Yeah. I mean, yesterday, Ray Allen spoke about it, and the reason that I guess he gets a pass is because he's being enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
Tonight.
Yeah. And he still seems extremely butthurt about the entire thing. But after this, I think that there should be no more talk about. Are you as sick as I am? And this is a story that I actually thought was funny for the longest time. But now it's like, all right, enough.
We're about two or three years past that. The part where it jumped the shark was that Area 21 thing, where he had all the ex-Celtics in and Doc Rivers on.
No, I thought that was great.
No, what I'm saying is that was the last good thing about this.
No. The last
you
good
couldn't
thing,
have done anything better than that.
No, the last good thing
where Rondo wouldn't talk, even though Kevin Garnett was poking at him to do so.
No, and Paul Pierce was retired, and like the whole team showed up, and Ray Allen posted that photo of him in a golf course.
But, I mean, that was just piling on. Here I am
with Carlos Mencia.
I understand that.
Or George Lopez.
I mean, it was just that was sniping back and forth from a distance. I'm talking about, you know, you guys, everyone's there. They're all talking about the team, and you can't get Rondo to say one word about Ray Allen.
I thought that was fun.
Kelly, I did too. But the point is, that was the good part of it. But the rest of it is all crap.
Yeah. We know, like, the whole story
we
now.
We get it. You didn't like each other. You still don't talk to each other. You're planning vacations, and no one invited Ray Allen. I get it.
Well,
it's over.
Here's Ray Allen. He was asked about whether or not anybody's coming to the enshrinement.
Have any of your former teammates reached out to you this week?
No. You know, this is a great opportunity for me to celebrate with my family and my friends, all the past teammates I've had. What I've learned, Rachel, is this is all you have are moments. And I don't have any ill will against anybody. Everybody, good and bad, has gotten me to this moment. So I think about, you know, the things I've learned, the bad times I've gone through the most that have allowed me to get back up again and say, let me get better. But it's, you know, the life is too short. So, you know, it's, what can you do? I love all the guys I played with in Boston. I loved all my teammates. And all we can do is move forward and just kind of take the people who want to be in your life and make a better life with them.
Mm-hmm. Are they referring exclusively to Boston players?
No, he said teammates. I thought the same thing.
So Milwaukee, where he played for years, and then Miami, where he won a championship.
He was the reason LeBron has a ring, one of the rings that he has there. Because Ray Allen hit that massive shot in Game 6.
Yep.
He's like, no, it was the Spurs. Yeah, the Spurs were going to win that series, but Ray Allen hit one of the biggest shots of his career, and because of that, LeBron has a ring.
So Seattle, Milwaukee, Celtics
and Miami. Yeah.
So out of all, and he played how many years in the NBA? 15 years in the NBA?
That sounds right.
And he can't get one teammate to show up to his enshrinement?
I mean, that guy really must have been an ass.
He was a guy that shared a bed, and he got game with Chasey Lane in her prime and Jill Kelly.
Yep. What do you think about what people think of Ray Allen there, Mark Jamelli?
You are a dick.
Maybe he is, or maybe he's not even a dick. He's just
you have dick tendencies.
Possibly.
Well, he's obviously, if he can't get anyone to go to his enshrinement. Now, is this held in Springfield?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's right down the road.
So that's a strike against it. But
but I do believe, however, the festivities from this weekend are at Mohegan Sun, right? Don't they do like a thing at Mohegan Sun or one of like the big casinos, I think?
So you're not close to it, like remotely close to anybody that you ever played with?
Yeah, no, it's 17 seasons.
And 17 seasons. Think of how many guys that he's played with, and you never struck up a long-term relationship with any of them. And this isn't something.
That's the thing. When Kevin Garnett goes in, you know, Pierce will be there. There'll be a lot of guys there. I agree.
Well, it's going to be weird. Like everyone he played in Minnesota. It's going to be like everyone he played with
LeBron should be there to thank Ray Allen for what he did. To be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, the Heat.
Well, without a doubt.
LeBron should be there in Springfield, Massachusetts tonight.
But then that would almost be an admission that he wouldn't have won it without Ray Allen.
Yes, it's a thank you. I mean, LeBron has passed that. He's won other championships. He's done it on his own.
Isn't there some, like, jabroni that, like, would just, like, take the free trip to Mohegan Sun?
Birdman Anderson, did he play with him? I mean, somebody should show up.
That's right. Birdman won a championship with him, right? Wasn't he part of that Miami team?
I don't know. I got to find out.
What's the Birdman doing? Other than being falsely accused of having child porn on his computer.
That is one of those things where the story came out that Birdman Anderson had child porn on his computer, and everyone ran with the headline, and then it turned out that he didn't, and you never read very much about how that was false.
Oh, yeah, without
a doubt. Which is a fantastic way to, that's really fair to him.
So there's probably people who look at him and still think, well, this guy did all of that.
Well, it's like anything, is that if you get accused of something, that's front page. It's not as sexy when a sexy story, and I'm talking exclusively in terms of the way that it's consumed in journalism, is that when it's not truth. I mean, they just bury it. Manny, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey. It beats me. I don't understand. Ray Allen, he's got to be a bad guy because for nobody to show up, because you got to think, remember, Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other, but I bet you Kobe will go to Shaq's Hall of Fame speech and vice versa. Shaq will go to Kobe's. So Ray Allen's got to be a bad guy. I mean, I don't know what the heck's wrong with that guy.
And even if they don't, because by the way, that's such a better beef than the Celtics against Ray Allen.
Agreed.
But even if they don't, like, other people will. Like, unless we've got this wrong and it's just the Celtics, if you can't get anyone in 17
Mario Chalmers, somebody, anybody.
Somebody just tweeted us and said, you're right, enough about the 2008 Celtics not liking Ray. I just want to know how Ray's catfishing thing turned out. Now that is true. And why there have not been anybody with all the interviews and all of the book tours things he's done that no one has asked him about that weird as hell catfishing thing. Where this guy was saying that he had a relationship with him? Once again.
He said that he had an online relationship with him and they were going to meet or something like that. And he met him in Orlando and they.
And the guy said, he took pictures of himself inside his wife's restaurant, Ray Allen's wife's restaurant, and was like, I'm sitting here waiting for you. Now, the guy obviously sounds like a maniac, but however, from what I heard, Ray Allen kind of bought into it for a little bit.
Right. No, that's what the man is saying. And he says he said he had evidence of it, but we haven't seen any of it. But I'm going to guess if you've talking to an anonymous person, basically, online that's willing to share that amount of time with you, you mean he's mentally ill? You don't say.
I have to hear this one more time. I just want to make sure that this is just his teammates and not just the Celtics. Here we go.
Have any of your former teammates reached out to you this week?
No.
Okay. That's any of your former teammates.
Yeah, that was the sentence before discussing the Celtics specifically.
I'll have to take a look. I mean,
that in that context, it's possibly just talking about Boston.
All right, whatever. but it doesn't seem he was overly popular anywhere he played.
No. The 17 years worth of teams.
Right.
And we have seen, I mean, Scalabrine, can he go? I mean, there's got to be somebody.
Scal's got better things to do.
That's a good point.
Scal's got to go over to Lifetime Fitness in Chestnut Hill.
Do a little squash.
Oh, I never told you guys about this. Scalabrine works out at Lifetime Fitness in Chestnut Hill.
Yep.
And he works out with no shoes on.
Why?
He works out in bare feet.
Did you ask him why? Do we know why?
I haven't seen it, but
like treadmills and stuff?
Whatever he does it in bare feet. Like, he lifts weights in bare feet.
That would seem dangerous, no?
It's supposed to be better for you, but there's also the idea of it being incredibly unsanitary. So, yeah, I know two people that go there, and they've both told me on separate occasions that, yeah, they see Scal and they get all excited.
All right, next time we get him on, that's got to be the first question we ask him.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, is why do you work out with no shoes on? And apparently he, like, is, like, you know, he's like a big, like, guy.
Oh, he's a grunter?
Yeah, because he pushes himself through these ridiculous workouts.
Well, now I do know that he is a workout machine, and I'm not joking or exaggerating. I mean, we've talked to Gorman about it.
Yeah, Gorman says that he works out three times a day, sometimes three times a day, because you got to keep it tight.
That's what you got to do to average a point and a half in the Big Three League.
That's true. If you watched the all-new Sunny in Philadelphia last night, you saw that Mac has got really muscular, and he said, all it takes to get this way is working out for 6 months with a trainer who trained the guys in Magic Mike, not eating, not drinking alcohol or any sugar, not basically eating nothing that you want to, just crap, running 3 miles a day, getting 9 hours of sleep, and boy, this is really realistic for people to do. I don't know why. Did it as a joke, and it just sounds like, you know what? I don't need to look like that. Like, you know?
Right. Because at some point, it's like, all right, the maintenance of just having a body like that makes it your life miserable. Enjoy the pleasures of life.
Right. Right. Yep. I mean, you got it. I mean, I guess there's a balance that has to be kept to, but yeah, that seems like a lot.
I love meatballs.
And that's why I will never have a body like that.
I mean, Mark Jamelli had Nick at a very young age, though. But Mark Jamelli is retired.
Yeah, I mean, if he's in his 60s, right?
He sounds like a guy who eats a lot. Nick has told us that he's heavy. He
lives a good life. He's comfortable. You know, he eats, you know, has his two Manhattans, makes meatballs all day. Yeah, I mean, he probably had him when he was like 30.
Okay. All right. Because, I mean, now it's just a life of leisure. And he's lived the life the way he wants, and watch, he'll probably live to 90.
Mm-hmm.
Handing out meatballs to kids in parades. We'll be back, and we'll introduce you to one of the stranger things that you will hear about today.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As you probably know, we're the favorites to be the winning racers tomorrow in the Cannonball race, which is going to be fourth. Good evening, ladies.
Evening.
Hello.
My name is J.J. McClure. This is my... Because if I had enough time, I would take those rosary bleeds and stuff them up your nose.
These bleeds?
Those bleeds, yeah.
You going to take these and shove them up?
I'd take these bleeds here.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And that is Burt Reynolds, the man bought the farm yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The man who made so many films that you look back on and go, that was a strange time.
As I said, say what you will, but there's a handful of his films that I would consider... like great films. Ones that, I mean, obviously Boogie Nights, if you want to talk about ones that have won awards.
Which is a film
like
he hated.
See, I never heard that, but that's interesting.
I never heard it either, but that's what I read.
But then he's got, you know, of course, Deliverance, which I would say is also a great movie. It's you know, tough to watch, but it's a phenomenal film. And then there's the ones that you can't turn the channel when they're on. As I mentioned, Hooper might be... You should watch Hooper. Like, Hooper's a legitimately funny movie where he plays a stuntman. It's got, of course, all those old guys are in all of his movies. I don't know if Klecko's in it, but... I think that they had Jerry Reed, I believe.
Yeah, Jerry Reed's in there. They were like the Willie Ames and Scott Baio of the 70s.
Right. And DeLuise, I don't think, was in that one. But, I mean, Stroker, Ace, you're not changing the channel. Smokey and the Bandit, the first one.
I own Smokey and the Bandit on digital and DVD.
Oh, it's the best.
See, I still say Sharky's Machine is there.
Oh, Sharky Machine's
does
like...
Does it involve a truck?
Sharky's Machine does not involve a truck.
Because any sweet 2-year period.
Or trucker movie.
Like, trucking was cool.
Convoy.
Yeah, when Convoy became
like,
a huge hit.
Like, when trucking was cool, I'm fascinated by that. That there was a time, because that sounds like the most miserable job on the planet. And there was a time, and I think it was entirely based on the fact that they had CBs. Like, people were
breaker,
just like...
Breaker, breaker, Dado. That song was a hit. I think Convoy was a number one song.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that basically launched Kris Kristofferson to machismo heaven. But I also said, and I put this tweeted out some yesterday, I'm about to tweet out some more, that he was the star of the best movie posters of all time. And there's one that I'm about to tweet out that's for a movie called Semi-Tough, and there's three different posters for it, and all of them are fantastic. That's the one where he and Kris Kristofferson are supposedly football players with their shirts off, and the girls that are hiking, they're supposed to be the quarterback, ones that are hiking them the ball are these chicks in bikinis, but it looks like they're doing them.
Yeah, they probably are.
And it says, it's the world's greatest game, and it sure ain't football. And then in another one for the same movie.
It's called a Cinco, 3-on-2.
It says also, they lead the league in scoring after the game. Yow!
Yeah, they're getting laid all the time. They love it.
That's what it's all about. But he was also somebody who gave us one of our great late night television moments. And this was, I don't know what year it is. I gotta think like 91, 92. It's gotta be in an era where Double Dare was on television and Jay Leno was in the hosting position for The Tonight Show. So I'm thinking early 90s. That seems to be just about.
You sure he wasn't guest hosting
on the video? Okay.
This was his show.
He was the only guest host. A lot of people don't know this, but he was the only guest host like the last years of Carson.
Okay. So what happened is when you're the A-list guest, you do your interview, and that was, of course, Burt Reynolds. And when he was done, he moved to the left, and that's when you bring in the B-list guest after him, and that would be. None other than the very mess phobic, or what's the term for
OCD. He's like crippling OCD. In the fact, you know how like rugs will have the shags at the end of them?
Yeah.
He would get down a couple times a day and use a comb to straighten out the shag of the rug.
So he's got that. On top of that, he's also a colossal douchebag. And we've known this for years. So you've got Burt Reynolds sitting there, and he's just like, he's not having any of Mark Summers. And Mark Summers is trying to act cool in the presence of Burt Reynolds, and you don't do that.
No.
So just know that something you're going to hear here, you're not going to know what's happening at first. Just know that it starts with Burt Reynolds pouring a glass of water onto Mark Summers because he's so pissed off at him.
And so this is like hell for Mark Summers.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
And Mark Summers tries to retaliate, and Burt Reynolds ain't having none of it.
Now, do you like doing the messy stuff especially? Is that...
No, it's very strange because I am really I'm Felix Unger. I'm a neatness fanatic.
Right,
so
right.
It's just kind of weird that I've been, for the last 9 years, doing that kind of TV. We've done some weird things on the show. We once filled a container with 4,000 pounds of baked beans and made kids dive into it, which was really great.
Gee, I wish I'd seen that.
You would have... We have an obstacle course.
You were a neatness freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just say that because your back is to me, and I was just talking to a back.
No, I can talk to you too, Bert.
Thank you. Who told you that? Because
my wife tells me that often.
She says, good morning.
I'm still married, as a matter of fact.
Yes, well, you...
Here we go.
Is that where he pours the water on?
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, I thought it was unprovoked that he just did it for fun.
No.
Summers provoked that.
No,
okay.
I just
who
like...
is he divorced from? Because he, again, was in relationships with two people. That you go, why?
How many times is he married?
One is Dinah Shore, which you could never figure out. And the other one was Sally Field that I could never figure out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Smoking the Bandit.
Connie Selica.
Connie Selica.
I'm just thinking of like 80s vixens.
He was married to Lonnie Anderson.
He married her?
But that was later
in
life.
He was only married twice, it says here. Judy Carne, anyone know who that is?
See, I just thought that was a movie thing.
And then they did Evening Shade, I believe, together.
English actress.
Okay.
He was married twice, and each time the marriage lasted less than two years.
So now it's on, because Burt Reynolds ripping on this guy, because he thinks, oh, wow, can't believe I missed that. And then Mark Summers says, well, I'm still married, and it's on.
Yes, well, you...
Pours the water on.
Mark Summers tries to grab his water and pour it on Burt Reynolds, and Burt Reynolds smacks it out of his hand.
It's like, I played football at Florida State.
So it's listen, on.
Listen, I've driven enough anteaters in my life to know which way is up.
He's not a neatness freak anymore.
So, Burt Reynolds just threw water on me. Did you notice that, folks?
And you'll treasure it, lady.
Don't touch me. So. I used to be on your show all the time, Win, Lose, or Draw. I used to love that show.
Funny, I don't remember.
Wow.
Okay.
But you started out as a magician, if I'm not mistaken.
So Burt Reynolds just like, Jay Leno just goes to Mark Summers, oh, I heard you were a magician.
Oh,
and every time something happens, Burt just unbuckles a part of his shirt.
And Tom DeLuise comes out and starts going,
no, he just like, oh, you want to go? And he unbuttons his shirt and he shows a little more chest hair. He's like, Mark Summers, you look like clean as a baby's ass. Look at this.
A little more for the ladies.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen a horn of plenty, but I've had plenty of whores. I'm making up bumper stickers that would have been big 30 years ago.
What's this?
Oh, it's all right.
Thank you. There we go.
Thank you, Fabio.
Come on.
You know, I don't mind that because I deserved it.
You deserved it.
So at that point, they throw, like, one of the producers throws a towel to them, and when they both get a towel, Mark Summers takes that moment to get a thing of water, and he finally gets it onto Burt Reynolds. Okay. And so now Burt Reynolds is covered in water, too, and just he's, like, slowly, like a cool guy, just brushing off the ice, and that's when he starts saying, I deserved it.
Yeah, and he's just telling the ladies, he's like, now the nipples are erect, and we're going to see a little situation here in the ab area.
I deserved it.
That's okay.
You know, that's the kind of guy I am.
Okay.
And I was saying to your wife the other night, you know?
I saw you with Katie Kirk. You were a nice guy. I saw you on one of those PBS shows. You were very sedate.
It's easy to be nice to nice people.
It is. Yes, it is.
It's nice to see you two have hit it off so well.
He's doing his Milton Berle impression. Take a look at that. Anyway, too obscure for the room. Anyway.
It's too hip for the room. I bet that plays good on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. At least I have a full-time job, though. That's true. What is this? Wait a minute.
Okay, so the producers come out at this point,
and they think fast, and they hand them these, like, trays filled with, like, shaving cream, like they're pies, and hand it to them. Instead of just killing any momentum that the two had just to killing each other there, they say, all right, let's turn this into a bit.
You're doing your Milton Berle impression. Was he, like,
pulling his pants down and showing the world?
Yeah, was he just, or, like, just showing the lump in his pants? Milton Berle is famous for having a very large penis.
Yes. So you're showing the Wallach pleat.
The most fortunate pleat in the history of
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't want
brilliant
that.
Brilliant photograph.
I got news for you. You don't want that.
Some people might.
Yeah. Not anyone you want to be with. Any girl that doesn't run out of the room with that is not someone for me. All right. What do we got going here in the stack, Richie?
There is a member of the Celtics who had $77 million stolen from him by his manager. And I guess this guy has done it to other athletes as well. We will get to that.
All right. Here are the headlines.
95, the Sports Hub.
Time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
95 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, there is a story that is going around. By the way, you heard the story about the guy from the Cosby Show who was working at Trader Joe's or something.
Yeah, there was somebody who saw him. It was Elvin, the guy who played Elvin, who was the kind of nerdy guy who dated...
Married.
And marrying his daughter, that's right. And somebody saw him working at a Trader Joe's, took a picture, and kind of put out like a mocking email saying, look at this guy, he's bagging groceries.
Nicky Manja is, or whatever you pronounce her name, is giving him $25,000. So if
who?
I...
Nicki who?
The
one oh, with, Nicki Minaj.
Minaj.
Oh, okay.
Manja is what I called her.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj. And to that I say, why? I mean, he gets residuals from the Cosby Show, and it's hurt him that the Cosby stuff has come out and they don't rerun him as much. But he had a gig on TV, and he went to Yale. He worked at Trader Joe's to in between roles. Why the hell does he deserve $25,000 from Mickey? Give it to someone else. The guy has a Yale education. The guy was on one of the most popular television shows in history. And he didn't even ask for it.
You see, I think that more appropriately would be that Tyler Perry came out and said, I think this guy's a pretty good actor. I'm going to hire him for one of my movies.
That's
work.
In fairness, Elvin said that... Elvin, who's been on several episodes of Always Sunny, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I know
he played a guy who claims to be Tiger Woods to a prostitute and just wants to massage their feet. D.A. told me about it. But... So he's like a working actor, and big deal. He worked at Trader Joe's. Oh, so what? Why does he deserve charity?
Well, it's job shaming. I mean, that's what it comes down to. That's what they call it.
Yeah, but why would I give him $25,000?
That's a little weird. That's a little strange.
It's insulting to everybody. The guy had a job. I mean, just because at one point in your life you were on TV, every time you have to take another job, that's considered... He went to Yale! He's a graduate of Yale University.
See, I actually didn't know that. That's interesting to me.
I'm thinking... And he got the job at Trader... This guy said nothing wrong, so I'm not blaming him.
No. He said everything right, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
his whole thing
said,
is like, any job's a good job, you know?
But he is wants to be a working actor, and in order to do that, he has to keep a second job, and he needs the freedom to be able to go and audition. Because with a Yale education and his background, he could get a job. I mean, he could certainly teach acting if he graduated from Yale Drama. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so...
My main point is this, is that leading into this story, is that people cherry-pick these dumb things and then just pour all their money into
them.
Well,
I'll say this much. We get sent a lot of GoFundMes that are set up a lot and say, hey, can you retweet this because of one thing or the other? There's somebody I know who needs this. And sometimes I feel kind of like an ass not retweeting some of these requests.
Yeah, you don't know what the hell they're for.
The only ones I'll usually do are like ones that I know the people that are behind it, or I know the organization that it's set up by, because I don't know if this money's going to get handled poorly one way or the other. And now we have a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
So there was a couple, a woman who by the name of Kate McClure, and she ran out of gas on the side of the highway back in October. And there was a homeless guy. His name is John Bobbitt. And he's not the other John Wayne Bobbitt. But who's name? John Wayne Bobbitt? Is that the guy's name?
That's who
the
thing says, yeah.
This is Johnny Bobbitt. So this guy didn't have any money, or he had $20 and that's all he had. And he gave it to this girl, Kate McClure, when she was stranded. So this was kind of a feel good story. She said, you know what? I want to help pay this guy back because he gave his last money to me to help me out in a time of need.
Then put him in the car, drive to an ATM and give him $100.
So they set up a GoFundMe account for him. Now,
you know what he needs? Thousands of dollars. But it probably was set up to just... if you're so proud of him, put him in your car, drive to the gas station, go inside, go to the ATM, and give him $100. There. Five times the amount of money he had. That's perfectly fine. What, are you going to buy this guy a car?
But they wanted to look like saints. That's
of
why.
Course I mean, they it, do. There's like, no reason to do that.
So they put up a GoFundMe.
What's the guy on the side of the highway, by the way?
They put the limit. They didn't. There's like a goal. It's not a limit. It doesn't stop when you reach this amount.
Sure.
But the goal was $10,000. So
the guy needs $10,000.
This thing went national, and they ended up raising $400,000.
Meanwhile,
this guy.
Meanwhile, all these homes that take guys in and feed them and try to rehabilitate them and try to give them skills are all going, hey, we could use $400,000. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing more responsible than giving a guy who's homeless $400,000. So, because it's obviously going to work out well in the end.
Well, they ended up giving him $75,000 of it. And then when Mr. Bobbitt tried to get the rest of it, they were like, well, we don't really have it.
God, people are dumb.
And so to that, people started asking, hang on, we donated this money to this guy. Where's all the money gone? And so
they should have said we bought magic seeds to make a beanstalk.
So the Today Show got these two about 2 weeks ago on their show to ask them what's going on with the missing money. You have that, Fred?
Yeah, and like geniuses, they agreed.
Have you spent, I know you admit that one time you were with him and you used $500 from his account at a casino.
Yes.
You say that was with his consent and that you paid him back.
Yep.
But other than that $500, have you spent $1 of that $400,000 on yourselves?
No.
Well, good. So you and the homeless guy are headed into the casino with $400,000.
What they had been doing is they'd been taking out little by little and giving it to him almost like crumbs. Like, here you go. Here's a little bit. We'll give you the rest later. Here's a little bit. Here's a little bit.
Or no, can we just go to the casino with you and just, because Lord knows we're all so responsible. Let's just see if we can blow this in a night.
Nothing.
No. No.
You're representing that right here and right now. There's never going to be any proof that you did.
No.
And so how much is left in the account now?
That's what we're in the process of finding out because we have, like we said, it was in our account. So we
have. Yeah, but you must know how much
he has well over $150,000 left.
$150,000 left?
Yes, well over that.
But so $250,000 has been spent?
Well, it was actually like $350,000 after the fees and everything from GoFundMe, but yes, he spent a lot of money.
As a lawyer, I would say to you, why not put it all in a separate account and get a trustee to manage it rather than the two of you having to manage that?
That's what we're in the process of doing now. And we're in the process of having everything looked over by our lawyer. And he has his separate lawyer and he will have his own trust and it will be out of our hands.
Okay, so since then, people did some digging. And they went onto the Instagram of this woman, Kate McClure. And since then, they have found pictures of them over the last several months at a New Year's Eve bash in Las Vegas at a VIP section in Skyfall with helicopter rides to the Grand Canyon, trips to New York City in which they took pictures of their front row tickets to the Book of Mormon, which are not cheap.
Right.
And also pictures of McClure, the woman, photographed carrying expensive Louis Vuitton handbags. Now, apparently they found out that this woman makes $40,000 a year and the other guy is a carpenter. So they are living a fairly lavish lifestyle. And then it was announced 2 days ago that guess what? There's no money left. And on top of that, yesterday, the police, actually the FBI, went to their house and here's what happened.
How'd they crack this case?
Well, the couple accused of mismanaging Johnny Bobbitt's GoFundMe money did not obey a judge's order to turn over all remaining funds. And today we saw police raid their home and learned that a criminal investigation is underway.
Easy come, easy go. As police seize a BMW and remove bags of evidence from the home of a South Jersey couple.
You know, in the mob. Well, you're laughing. But in the mob, if you make like a big heist, they always tell you to go out and wildly spend the money.
Buy the most expensive things and leave them scattered around your house.
And the one thing that a lot of these old-time mobsters regret is there wasn't social media to implicate yourself, obviously.
I mean, you should see the Instagram. It's like says, front row tickets, what? And it's got like what are you doing?
That's well, great. You're incredibly stupid. As is everyone who gave money to this account.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a homeless guy. Oh, here's $400,000.
This is almost like leaving a trailer full of food and supplies for hurricane victims on the side of the road.
He just left the truck. I don't think he took anything.
Miss McClure, where's the money? Where's the money for Johnny Bobbitt?
Caitlin McClure, who would not talk to us, met Johnny Bobbitt last fall when her car ran out of gas on Interstate 95 in Philadelphia. Bobbitt, who's a veteran, spent his last $20 buying her gas. Judge Paula Dow ordered them to surrender the money, but they missed the deadline and relayed through their lawyer the money is all gone. Eyewitness News was first on the scene as the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office and Florence Township Police executed a search warrant and announced the start of a criminal investigation on Thursday. D'Amico seemed nonchalant, swinging a golf club as police raided his home. Both he and McClure left the property and returned during the day. They wouldn't address allegations.
Mr. D'Amico, will you answer our questions about Johnny Bobbitt's money?
How about if you're that concerned? Do you know these charities to help veterans?
Yes.
And I don't want to be like, you know, Captain, but this is just Captain Obvious. Give your money to them.
Yep. Like organizations that have a track record of responsibly handling this money and distributing it amongst people who truly need it in the proper way.
And to give if someone gives someone $20, they don't need a $400,000.
That's the best. The best part of all this is that they bought a brand new BMW.
Yeah, like who could tell? who could crack the code? This guy gave me $20. Oh, hey, here's $1,000. Like, what are you doing? You know what this guy needs is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And exactly what's he going to do?
Well, I mean, we're about to find out. Because GoFundMe has come out. Because GoFundMe is like, okay, we're going to guarantee that this guy gets the money.
Fair enough. But say he gets the $400,000. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do?
We're going to find out because this is going to be a story that's going to be followed.
What is he
going to
like buy a house in cash? And then how is he going to keep the electricity on? How is he going to pay the taxes? I mean, what is he going to do with $400,000? I mean, God, people are stupid. For a $20 donation, I get $400,000.
You know, when we set up the GoFundMe for Nick when he was doing all that stuff, I immediately gave them ownership of it. Like, I set it up because I knew that they were going through a lot. But I contacted, I think it was his sister, and right. I was just like, here you go. Here's the email address. You deal with it. I want it off my hands.
Nick came in with some original stuff from the first Batman film and a brand new motorcycle.
Maybe that's what afforded all the meat for the meatballs, you know?
I love meatballs.
Maybe it was a big meatball scam. All right, we'll be back.
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatballs.
We'll have Zolak and Bertrand right on the way.
Stay tuned for Touch and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.